This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Hello and welcome back to the Zoneheads Orlando, here with Loud and Proud Orlando for a weekly soccer update. I'm here with Luis to talk Orlando City and Orlando Pride. This is our fifth episode with you guys. Hope you're enjoying so far and learning a little bit more about the City Beautiful and the soccer teams and what's going on. Luis, how are you, buddy?
Hello, everybody. Well, definitely excited. Great results for the Lions. Show signs for a quick turnaround, hopefully. And also happy about the Pride, you know, still undefeated.
Yeah, 7 points in 1 week for Orlando City, 7 out of 9. So we got a good result. We talked about against Philly last week, and then we had a Wednesday match last week against Miami. And it was a big game, Luis. Tell us about the 0-0 against Inter Miami and what made this one so exciting.
Well, I mean, definitely, it was, to me, a great positive result. This is a team, is an Inter Miami team that's contending for Supporters Shield that has, you know, if not the best player in the world, Lionel Messi, and then a lot of great, added on pieces like Jordi Alba, Sergi Busquets, and you have also Luis Suarez. So, and also they have a young core. So, I mean, definitely, even though it was a sellout crowd of 25,046 souls right there in Interco Stadium, it really, each side created only maybe a couple of good looks at the goal. And to me, the goalkeepers took a really big center stage for the few chances that were generated. So, you know, I think the back lines for both teams cleaned up everything else. So, it was a Inter Miami still has never won a road game against Orlando City. So they never won in our stadium. So I take that as a huge positive, especially having Inter's momentum going and skyrocketing, right? So, you know, Lionel Messi was listed as questionable and did not dress for the match. And he has not played in Orlando since coming into the MLS. I will say it was a very level game. So I think both teams had options, and they could have scored at the beginning of the game, and they had options as well. So very even Stevens game, and overall a great result because a lot of fans were throwing away this game already. You know, a lot of pundits also were saying, hey, you know, they score 5 on us in Miami, you know, they're going to score maybe 6 here in Orlando, right? Orlando was coming from a downturn, and I think they definitely play a great defensive match.
Yeah, I mean, great defensive match is how I would put it. Drake Callender, it made in that first half some incredible saves. You know, he got a 7.4 on Footmob, and then on the other side, Pedro Galese, El Pulpo was back, Luis, with a vengeance. He got a 7.9, making some great saves. So it wasn't through lack of chances. You know, we had 14 chances, total shots, sorry, to their 7. They had a couple of big chances to ours as well. So there was definitely opportunities for either side to win this game. I feel like overall, though, we could have been the team to take it. I think we look like the stronger team in this one, and we're just really unlucky that their goalkeeper had such a great game and made some incredible diving saves and one-handed saves to keep out the likes of Muriel and Maguire. So a little bit unlucky in this one, not to get the win, but a good showing against our interstate rival who are up there at the top of the table, like you said, Luis. So do you think this was a good or a bad result for us? I mean, how do you look at this?
This was obviously no one. This team, Orlando had some chances that if they would have capitalized, we would have definitely been getting a pretty big win.
A win would have been a huge result.
It would have been a huge result. It would send a buzz down the league for sure. But I'll take that there is a positive turnaround. And, you know, still Miami also had some chances. Cartagena, another great player. He had a phenomenal game against Inter Miami playing as a center back. Marking Luis Suarez, which is really hard to contain. And he did a phenomenal job. And, you know, I think it's a good result based on the fact that we were coming from a downturn and a whole list of negative results and negativity all around surrounding the team. And I think getting 7 points in 1 week, especially a draw against one of the teams that it's pretty much rock and roll in every single game, and also being comeback kings and road kings outside of their home turf, I think it's a great result. I think the draw.
So we got that win on the 11th against Philadelphia, 3-2 away, and then we get this draw at against Miami, 0-0 on the 15th, and then the 18th, just Sunday gone, we went away to San Jose. Luis, tell us, how did the Lions do at San Jose?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the Lions went across country, you know, pretty much to face the San Jose Earthquakes. And honestly, they got a phenomenal result. It was a 1-0 win. Jack Lynn, who came on in the first half for a injured Duncan McGuire, scored the only goal of the game. So, you know, it was a great result playing in a, especially in a place that we've never been able to obtain a victory, which was in San Jose. So, honestly, I think it was a late winner and a much needed 3 points that provided us to definitely show signs of a turnaround of the season. So, we just got to keep consistent. Again, you had the back line with David Brekalo, Wilder Cartagena, and Rodrigo Schlegel. You have Dagordan Thorhalsson and also Facundo Torres as wingbacks. And you have Felipe, Ivan Angulo, and Nicolò Daro in the mid. And then you have Duncan McGuire and Luis Muriel, right, were the striking duo. So, you know, definitely after Duncan went off with a potential elbow injury, which we still don't know a lot about. Definitely it forced Oscar to put Jack Lynn, which is MLS Next Pro Golden Boot winner of last season. So definitely the kid was an early substitution, and but he felt ready because he's trained with the team. He's been sparring with the team for the past two seasons. So I think tactically Pareja had a great game, and also the squad was able to obtained the 3 points, John.
This is another, like, third game in a row from this three-game stretch where we got the 7 points. We've been playing 3-5-2 formation the whole time. You talked about it there with a back three, like, wing backs. Surprising to see Facu Torres playing as a left wing back, and Angulo's been playing there, and then Dagordan came back in for this one to play a right wing back. Talk to me a little bit more, Luis, about the benefits of this new formation that Oscar has rolled out for his team.
Yeah, I mean, in the last few matches, you see the 3-5-2. Typically, our coach, Oscar Pareja, prefers to set his team up on a 4-2-3-1, lineup, and because of injuries of our fullbacks, Rafael Santos and Dagordan Thorhalsson and Mikey Holiday, you know, something needed to change. So he used a 3-5-2 and kind of slightly tweaked variants of it, and having met with success, in my opinion. Definitely we've seen a great performance by Ivan Angulo playing in that formation, playing great defense, especially great offense, especially on the last game against San Jose. And then also great defensive, newfound defensive prowess by Facundo Torres, which he might not be scoring goals, but he's definitely showing that he's marking their plays a little bit better, being a little bit more influential in the playmaking. So, you know, and also, in my opinion, their 1-2 punch, or Oscar Pereja's 1-2 punch, which is Martin Ojeda coming as a sub in the second half, you know. So it's been great, this formation. And I think he's not going to move out of that until, you know, he needs to, right? So I think right now Orlando's doing a great job of pushing their numbers forward with this formation. So, you know, they created chances against the Union. They were more clinical about finishing those chances. And then also you saw some of that against Miami and then also against San Jose. So it's helping both ways, offense and defense. So I'm on board in the 3-5-2, John.
I think it's great to show that Oscar is willing to really shake things up when he needs to. It wasn't really going well with the 4-2-3-1, and he shows like, hey, I'll go to what I consider, Luis, an extremely attacking formation. You know, some people would call it suicide to play like that, but clearly we're making it work. So with a guy like Facu, who's a left winger, a left wing back, really performing well, I think, in that position, surprising. Not someone that you would think could play there, but it just shows Oscar's willing to move guys around, and he sees things that we don't in these guys that he knows that, okay, I can take your same skills and play you in this position. The big thing for me on this is the two up front, like you said, Luis. We got the fact that you're able to play Muriel with somebody next to him is a major advantage of this formation. Speaking of that partnership you mentioned there, Duncan McGuire in the last game against San Jose went down with a bad looking injury as he fell on his arm and did something to his elbow. We're not 100% sure yet, but because of that, Jack Lynn came into the game early in the 16th minute. And then it was on the field for most of the game. And then right at the end of the game, Luis, managed to get us that one goal we need. I want to hear a little bit more and tell the people about who Jack Lynn is, because he probably isn't very well known to your average Orlando City fan, but we know him very well from his time at OCB.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Jack Lynn, he's forward, obviously, for Orlando City. He comes from, you know, Notre Dame. He has 79 games in Notre Dame as in college, 31 goals. Honestly, he has 44 games. He played for OCB in 2022 and in 2023 and 34 goals. So he won the Golden Boot. 24 years old, so he's right up there in age. 6'1", striker. To me, he has a great opportunity, you know, just like Duncan had when he first came into to Orlando. You know, there was a need to try somebody else up in the number 9 spot, and he got the call up to play behind Erjan Kara. The same situation is happening with Jack. In this case, not because Duncan's performance, but because of injury. So I think he needs to take advantage of that. No for nothing, he scored. He won the Golden Boot for the MLS Next Pro. So is he the MLS starter level striker? Maybe for now we haven't seen enough. I think we need to see him become more influential in attack. We'll see what happens, right? I mean, in the next few games, you know, he's probably better off. I think he's better off playing in a 2-striker system, which kind of fits us with Luis Muriel, right? But who's behind Lynn, right? So what happens if Lynn gets injured? You know, that's my worry. So I do feel that Orlando eventually, when the transfer window opens up, they need to look for a under 22, maybe a striker that's able to also, or bring Ramiro Enrique back, right? Hopefully getting closer to return, right? And I think Oscar said he was getting close to return as well. So, but I still feel, you know, there still needs to be a little bit of a more of a outside presence right there in attack, John.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, it's going to be a lot for him to get the level of goals that he got at OCP and MLS.
Right.
We hope, you know, he will get that chance to prove that he could be a constant MLS starter and that, you know, he can step up to that level. But I don't think that we can rely on him if Duncan goes. You know, I think it's too much to expect him to fill all those goals that Duncan is providing so far this year and last year. So the summer window is coming up. We'll see what happens, what changes Orlando City make to the roster. But we're climbing up the table, Luis. Great to see that the Lions are on the edge of the playoffs at the moment. They're in 10th position on 16 points, and 1 point above them is DC United in the playoff places on 17 points. So we're closing that gap, and we're going to hopefully get firmly into the playoffs before the end of the season. And that's where we want to be. And it's all about peaking at the right time, and it's still a long, long way to go for this year. So onwards and upwards for Orlando City. On to Orlando Pride, Luis, and another win. This is 7 on the bounce for the Orlando Pride. Top of the table. Chef Seb is just cooking up wins left, right, and center. I mean, this one, we've never won in Seattle rain. We went there on Sunday night and got a 2-3 victory at Seattle. Barbara Banda got a brace. Emily Sam scored an incredible left-footed shot, and also a red card for the rain at the end for national team player Balser. Kind of showed that they're really not where they should be this year. So great for us to go into their house and do what they've done to us many times, get the win, and prove that the Pride are no pushover. So great to see. This game, Luis, tell me your thoughts on the latest win for the Pride. And also, this is a tied for the record win. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so in 2014, Seattle Reign, or at the time it was OL Reign, had the winning record of 7 straight. With this win against Seattle Reign, they tied that record. 7-7, and they have the chance to make history in the league, to be the only team to have gone 8 consecutive games, or 8 consecutive wins, essentially, right? So it's a huge game coming up against Portland Thorns, which we'll discuss in just a bit. But in this game, I'll say the Pride outlasted Seattle Reign 3-2. They continue their undefeated season. The Pride took a 2-0 lead with goals by Emily Sams, which was a golazo, and Barbara Banda. And then right before the half, James Turner scored a goal, and then that kind of catapulted the Reign to kind of gain a little bit of momentum. And they also have good players like Bethany Balser, and essentially, you know, she scored a goal as well. And the Barbara Banda scored the second goal of the day, and she proved to be the difference maker. And then the Pride won again. You know, I think Morgan Gottschalk didn't play this game, and she didn't start, neither Julie Doyle. So Carrie Abello, Kylie Strom, Raphael, and Sams were in the back line. Haley McCutcheon and Ali Limos, was starting. And then Summer Yates, Marta, Adriana with Barbara Banda up top. The Pride looked really powerful. I think Banda, it's a force to be reckoned with. And they are unbeaten. You know, this Seattle team got really frustrated, started fouling a lot in the second half. I eventually got him a player ejected up the game with a red card for dissent to the ref. So, and there were a couple of questionable, you know, decisions by the ref as well when it comes to, you know, not calling for yellows or reds against Seattle. But we'll discuss that later. But overall, a phenomenal game, another big win by the Pride, and I just can't wait to see how far they're going to go.
I mean, it's just nonstop from them. They're just taking wins every game. I feel like they've got the potential to win the game. This one, even when it went to 2-2, Luis, I still felt like we were going to get that extra goal and hold on. So it's a mentality thing from this team. They just have a winning mentality right now. And top of the table on 24 points, you know, 7 wins, 3 draws from 10 games. Barra Banda's got 6 goals in 6 games. It's all positive for the Pride. And it has to be because we're about to go and play, I think, probably one of our top contenders this year for the Shield and for trophies, the Portland Thorns. Luis, tell us about the Portland Thorns and what to expect from this, I would say, giants of the NWSL.
Yeah, I mean, the Portland Thorns are a team that we definitely need to watch out for. You know, they have won 6 games in a row. Even though they've had easier teams than us, I think they face easier teams. They started a little poor their season, but they come from a win. They beat the Dash 2-0 away last week. And, you know, they have phenomenal good players. You know, Sophia Smith, to me, she's the one of the best. Janine Becky from Canada, Canadian national team. Olivia Moultrie, Sam Coffey, Becky Sauerbrunn, you know, Hina Sugita from Japan. So they have a good core of women there that are able to definitely be a quite a tough opponent for the Pride. You know, I think it's going to be a huge test. If the Pride are able to come out of this one with 3 points in front of a beautiful crowd at Intercoast Stadium, I think it's going to set a buzz down the league. And pretty much they've been beating almost every major team in the NWSL already. So they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, especially with the record being broken. So I think this run could extend one more. John, 1 or 2 more for sure.
I mean, if we beat the Thorns on Friday, that will overtake the tie that we have currently on the wins, and that will be a new record. So we're going for the 8th win in a row.
Correct.
At home. It's a big game, but we're doing it at home, and that's what counts. So Friday, 7 o'clock at Intercoast Stadium, Orlando Pride take on the Portland Thorns. We encourage everybody to come out. Like we said, this team is really fun to watch right now. So if you've never been to a Pride game, this matchup between two titans of the league in the current state of things would be a great one to come out to. So it's $15 for a seat or $15 for a ticket in the wall. You know, bring your kids. Come on out. It's a great family atmosphere. We encourage you and hope to see you there for the Pride match on Friday. Another great piece of news around the Orlando Pride is that we had a U.S. Women's National Team call-up, U-20 call-up, for Ali Limos. Ali has joined us this year from college and has shown a lot of progress, and she's been in the U National Team for U-20s, U-19s, U-18s for several years, and she's got another call-up, Luis. Tell us about Ali and her successes with the team so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal that, you know, a young talent like Ali Limos is being called up again for the youth 20s. She has a whole future ahead of her. She's done really good playing for the Pride so far this season, showing strides of her greatness. No Pride players are in today's UN's Women's National Team squad. Definitely Emily Sams maybe could have made it, and a couple of other Summer Yates, and even maybe Carrie Abello. But I think it's a great step, you know. It's a great step for the Pride to be at least Ali representing the youth 20s. Maybe Emma Hayes wants to wait to shake things up, and right now she's calling, you know, some of the same old names, you know. Definitely Emily Sams to me is the one who stands out the most from the Pride, from some of the new names in the Pride, because she's been just such a great defender, and also offensively and defensively speaking. So, but there's a lot of future. I think not having Pride players is okay, because they can concentrate on the NWSL and winning it all for Orlando. So I'm okay with that. And surely, slowly but surely, I think we're going to be seeing more Pride players coming into the national team.
For those of you that don't know, Emma Hayes is the Chelsea women's manager who has just become the U.S. national women's team manager. So this is her first roster that she's put out. Like Luis says, it's most likely that she's just not changing too much yet. She hasn't had enough time to see all of her players and all the options she has. So we're hopeful in the future that a Pride player is going to get a call up. Definitely Emily Sams is the top of that list. But excited to have Emma Hayes, who's got an incredible record, just won her fifth title in a row with Chelsea in the FAWSL, the Women's Super League over in England. It actually started way back in 2002, Luis, with the Long Island Rough Riders. So she's got some experience with the United States, but she's never managed a national team before, always been a club manager. So this is a big challenge for Emma, and I think she's the perfect person for the job. I think there's no one else more qualified, and we hope that she's going to bring success to the U.S. Women's National Team. And part of that, we really hope that she's going to bring some Pride players along for that, because it's massive for us to have Pride players on that team, because it's such a great team in the world of women's soccer, and historically a winning team. Probably the number one team ranked in the world. So let's hope that we get some Pride players involved, and Emma recognizes the likes of Sams and Carey and Abello and whoever else shines through in this team at the top of the end of SL. I want to thank you guys for listening to us. We'll be back next Wednesday on Zoneheads for more talk about Orlando City and Orlando Pride. If you like what you hear here, you can subscribe to us on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel that we do live on Monday nights for Orlando City, and on Tuesday nights we do Orlando Pride. You could listen to us later as well on podcasts, wherever you like to listen, and follow us on social. You can follow us at LPO _podcast on X or Instagram, and on Facebook as Loud and Proud Orlando. Luis, any final thoughts to leave everybody with on this week's soccer?
No, just go support Orlando Pride and Orlando City. Back-to-back soccer days. Friday, they face the Portland Thorns, Orlando Pride. I think tickets are super cheap. They cost less than a beer. And then when it comes to Orlando City, it's on Saturday, they played Columbus Crew with their Charlie Brown jersey. So
a double weekend of soccer here in the City Beautiful. Go check out the Pride. Go check out Orlando City if you haven't been this so far this year. We encourage you to do so. Thank you for listening as always. And vamos Orlando. Vamos Pride. Orlando.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Authentic Audio Productions, your go-to source for audio production of any kind. Commercials, ad reads, you want videos that you can post to your social media accounts to help support and promote your business? Authentic Audio Productions can help. Visit us online, AuthenticAudioPro.com. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. Please like, rate, review, subscribe. It goes a long way. And if you keep consuming our content, we'll keep cranking them out. Chat soon, Zoneheads.